The 25th chapter of Matthew. We will be beginning there in this continuing lesson number 6 on page 13 in our workbooks, in our lesson books. Lesson number 6, the Vineyard of the Lord. We're going to pick up with section Roman numeral 3, the place of labor. Mickey begins a gospel meeting this week in Warrington, Missouri, in the St. Louis area, and then he's going to be holding a second meeting immediately after this first one in St. Charles, which is, I think, probably only about 35 or 40 miles away from Warrington. So as we begin this morning, Joe, could I get you to direct our minds in prayer? And so, the Vineyard of the Lord and the place of labor, of course, is the vineyard or the church. And so what are we going to do? What kind of work are we going to do in the church, in the vineyard of the Lord? What are our responsibilities as members? What kind of responsibilities, or if you will, what kind of work are we going to do, are we going to perform in the vineyard of the Lord? Now, one of the parables that's very relevant to this topic is in the 25th chapter of Matthew, the parable of the talents. But if we back up for just a moment, all the way to the beginning of the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, we start out with a parable where Jesus is likening the kingdom of heaven to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, if we recall this parable, the parable of the 10 virgins seems to stress the need to be prepared, the need to watch for the Lord. And all in the same context of this chapter here, we see in the 14th verse, Jesus starts out with a second parable. Does anyone have the American Standard Version? Jane, read the 14th verse. Okay, for it, or as some translations have, such as the New King James, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. Okay, so the word it that James read in the 14th verse refers back also to the first parable for the kingdom of heaven. In other words, the context here is the kingdom of heaven. We're talking about the church. So, what does the parable of the talents have to do with the church? Well, in the parable, we have a man who traveled to a far country. And before he traveled to a far country, he distributes what to his servants? Talents. And how many talents? 5 talents, and 2 talents, and 1 talent. Sometimes we might think that the 1 talent person didn't get very much, but that's not the case. A talent, as I understand this measure of money in the ancient world, in the Roman world, a talent was some 6,000 denarii. And 1 denarius was a day's wage. So, as they say, and using today's phrase, if you do the math, and just rounding, economists can do a lot of math too, not just engineers. The 1 talent person received approximately, rounded up, 20 years' wages. So no small amount of purchasing power, no small amount of money. 20 years of wages. Considerable amount to be responsible for. Now, so what happens in the parable? The 5 talent person does what? They double the amount of talents. And doesn't the 2 talent person also do that? The 1 talent person didn't do anything. He omitted to do something. He omitted to use his talents. He went and hid his talent. So, the master returns, and then there's a reckoning, or there's an accounting, isn't there? And what happens in that accounting to the 5 talent and the 2 talent servants? They were praised for using their talents. And what happened to the 1 talent person? He was condemned for being lazy, wasn't he? And not only was he described as lazy, but he was described as wicked. A wicked and lazy servant. The master said, you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. It would have at least earned interest. And the unprofitable servant was cast into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, whereas the parable of the 10 virgins emphasizes watching and being prepared, the parable of the talents emphasizes what? It emphasizes being productive, and it stresses working. So this is what the parable of the talents, you might say, has to do. with the church. Lauren? Actually, Lauren, that's what I was just going to say next, is that isn't it interesting to observe in the story, in the parable, and Jesus would never use a parable to teach something which wasn't true. Every servant received talents or a talent. None of the servants in the story received zero talents. Now, when we start thinking about that, that's an interesting thought about going into the vineyard, going into the church, and working. Every servant in the parable had a talent. That's exactly right, Lauren. Now, so we see that the diligence in the parable is rewarded. We see that negligence was punished. We see that omission is just as bad as what? Commission, don't we, in this parable? The unprofitable servant was cast into outer darkness. So we need to be productive with the talents and with the abilities that we all have. Well, there's a lot of ways to be productive in the vineyard of the Lord. And David, since you introduced the topic, you know, there, when you think of a vineyard in this parable, and think of the descriptions of vineyards in the Old Testament and the work that is to be done in the vineyard, meaning there are different responsibilities. There are different things to be done in a vineyard. When we become a Christian, what is that we've already studied in the adult class on Sunday mornings, a few lessons back? What is the very first thing that we should do when we become a Christian? Now remember, when we become a Christian, God automatically adds us to the church. We don't join the church universal, do we? We're added to the church universal by God. What is really one of the very first things we need to do? Join yourself to a local congregation. David, how about reading Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6? Right. Yes. Okay.
Verse 8, finally, brother, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, talking about Apostle Paul, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. So it's talking about the things we learn from the gospel, you take out to others. We practice them in our daily lives. And even the person that's a new convert knows how to become a convert.
Even the person who's a new convert knows what they did to become a Christian. That's true. I must be remembering the wrong verse there. I thought I was remembering Ephesians 4 and 6, but... I've got something confused this morning. Now, to quote part of it, every joint supplies. Ephesians 4:16. Okay. Okay. I was only off a few verses. Okay. Ephesians 4:16. Now, how is a new convert going to supply anything without joining in the work of a local congregation? Now, we're going to have as we join ourselves, as we prepare ourselves for work in a local congregation, we're going to have a certain attitude or certain attitudes that we see revealed in the New Testament in order to prepare ourselves to join in the work, to participate in the work of a local congregation. Let's see, Melissa, could I get you to read 1 Corinthians 12 and verses 25 and 26?
25 and 26?
Yes.
1 Corinthians 12, 25 and 26. That there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it.
Okay, so we're going to have an attitude to be concerned about one another. And in Philippians 2 and about verse 3, Paul writes about the qualities of humility and lowliness of mind. And he writes to the Romans in the 14th chapter, around verse 18, about having a peaceable spirit. And he wrote to the Thessalonians in his first letter to the Thessalonians in the first chapter, in the introduction, around verses 2 and 3 about his appreciation for the work of the Thessalonians. So we need to have attitudes of concern for one another, of humility, a peaceable spirit, of appreciating the work that others do in the congregation. So these are the attitudes, the mindset, if you will, that we need to have as we join in to the work, join in working with a local congregation. So what kind of work are we going to do in the vineyard? So we're going to join a local congregation. And something that might seem simple on the surface, but isn't part of the work that we're going to perform in the vineyard is simply attending the assembly? David, did you have a comment on that? It shows that we care. Certainly does. Anything else about our attendance? David and then John. Yes, we do. John?
It's kind of like the parable of the landowner that went out to make the hires and again and again and again. Those people gathered in that place, they knew where to find them. They hadn't gathered in that place, they knew where to find them. And if they do it repetitively, then maybe at some point you understand, well, this person is good at this, this person is good at this, and this person does that. If you don't have that continual, regular gathering,
okay, Daryl.
I don't know what I heard from the gospel. It was a real simple analogy. It was coal that remains out of the fire dies. And so it's not only a duty, it's just a logical process. And it doesn't take, it's kind of like either setting goals or doing things that setting goals is as opposed to going to work every day. Going to church, and I have to point the finger at myself first. going to talk about Jesus to other people today. They couldn't help but do it. They were so filled with joy and exuberance at what they had found, at discovering the Messiah and the road to heaven. So that was, my understanding is that, and I believe this in all my heart, that even the least talented, quote unquote, least talented person has the ability in some way, shape, or form to share the joy of Christ with others. And in this life, the thing that sets the biggest example, the most magnetic attraction, is how we behave is much more than what we say. When people see other people that are full of joy, they want to know what's going on. They want part of that. And so no matter what our duty is inside the body, in the assembly, and the meetings that are set up outside of the regular meetings to get together and do work hard, so whatever, the goal of every Christian is the Great Commission, to be sharing Christ with others and bringing others into the body. So this, to me, is over and above and in addition to any duties in the congregation.
Well, part of the work of the church is, part of working in the vineyard is evangelism, isn't it? As we see, for instance, in Acts chapter 8 and around verse 4, right after the death of Stephen, the disciples went everywhere doing what?
Preaching the word.
Now that's part of the work in the vineyard, isn't it?
Major,
yes. Yes. Working in the vineyard is commanded. 2 Timothy 2:15. What does 2 Timothy 2:15 have to say? Peggy?
Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Or as some translations put it, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed. Now, let me just, for instance, give a few examples about men, for instance, being a workman in the kingdom. Perhaps when someone stops attending, when they stop working in the kingdom, or simply when they stop attending, if you think back about your observations that you've made, what you know of him, because I believe in that verse we just read that the emphasis in that verse is on the word workman. Did you ever see the person deliver a sermon, lead prayer, serve at the Lord's table, teach a Bible class, so on and so forth? Perhaps the reason that their faith waned, as Daryl was talking about, was that they didn't become a workman in the kingdom. Being a workman is something that's commanded. Remember what the one talent servant omitted to do. He omitted to work. So as well as attending in the assembly, I'm talking about also participating in the assembly. Do women participate in the assembly? And how do women participate in the assembly? Is there a command that they carry out? Melissa?
Keep silent during the assembly.
Okay. Listen.
Diligent.
And what about singing? And when you're singing, you're teaching and admonishing one another with hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. And we have the example of the Bereans in the 17th chapter of Acts, around verse 11, I believe. The Bereans were active listeners, weren't they? They searched the scriptures daily to see if what they were being told was in fact so, was according to the scriptures. Can you not be an active listener in the assembly? How many times have you heard Mickey say, "Don't believe it simply because Mickey is saying it"? So, actually, it becomes kind of like this. When it comes to attending and participating in the assembly, the question isn't how did the preacher do or how did the song leader do that day, but the question is, how did I do in the assembly? Lauren, did you have a comment?
No, if you look at the letters that Paul wrote, or all the letters that have been written, what is he trying to convey? He's conveying the church's problems in the church, and we need to correct those. If we don't correct the problems in the church, we can't go out and teach the other individuals, because they look at the home, the church, and see discontent. You look at the letters written to the seven churches of Asia.
Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia was the only one commended. And it was because they were commended for the good things they did, but also God knows and Jesus knows exactly what we do wrong. And that's why elders, when they oversee the flock, they try to make sure the teaching is correct and that people are actually listening. Because you can only tell from the outward appearance of people what their heart is. We don't have that insight that Christ has, but when you go to the churches of Asia, we can see some of the problems in the ones that Paul wrote, the others wrote. We can see that there were problems in the church. So then we have to reflect back on ourselves. Which one are we? Are we the church of Sardis? Or are we the church of Philippi?
Yeah.
So which one are we?
Which
and
one are we?
The correction is given. We need to take that correction. And as the gentleman said, we need to go out and teach. That's extremely important. And like I say, the only way elders know is what you do. You've got a congregation here that I know of people that actually do what the word says. Go out and teach, not only individuals, but collectively. They have classes in their homes, which is very admirable.
Lauren brought up the topic of elders. Working in the vineyard, doesn't that also involve submitting to the authority of the elders insofar as Christ has the scriptures has given elders authority? Submitting to the elders is part of the work in the vineyard. And along with that, participating, I'll use that word, participating in the discipline of the church when discipline is exercised. Participating in discipline is part of the work of the church. Because what does discipline accomplish? It maintains the purity of the church. It has the purpose of trying to save a soul. It promotes unity in the congregation. Maintaining unity in the congregation is part of the work that we're to do in this vineyard. So you see, we're naming off here a lot of different responsibilities of membership, or a lot of responsibilities, or a lot of different kinds of work that goes on in the vineyard. Evangelism. Now, what kind of work do we see was done in the 12th chapter of Acts with respect to Peter? Prayer, wasn't it? Praying for one another. Isn't that part of the work that we perform in the kingdom? Someone read Colossians 4 and 12. Okay, so here we see someone who was laboring in prayers. We see an example. We have a number of aspects. Lauren? Pardon? No, I was just going to say, we have a number of aspects of worship in the assembly, don't we? We have singing, we have praying, we have giving of our means, the financial support of the congregation. Isn't that a work that we perform in the vineyard? Is financially supporting the work of the church? Evangelism, edification, and as we're studying on Wednesday night, the authority for benevolence, that aspect or part of the work of the church. Jonathan? Oh, you like maybe around verses 5 through 9 or so? 5 through 8? Yeah. Actually, that goes to talking about, that section of Scripture goes to talking about the different abilities or talents that we have. Jonathan, would you mind reading that?
Prophecy, less prophesying, proportion to our faith, ministry, less use it in our ministry,
Right. Now, like, for instance, he who encourages. You can attend the assembly, and a work that you can perform is to encourage someone who is trying to learn to lead singing, trying to learn how to deliver a sermon, trying to learn how to teach a Bible class, trying to learn how to do personal work, personal evangelism, so on and so forth. And when we talk about the assembly, you know, actually, there's a lot of work to be done in the vineyard when we think about the provisions that have to be made. I mean, there are physical provisions that have to be made for the assembly, the preparation for communion, the building being in order, ready for worship to be used. So we have providing for the assembly, if you will. We have attendance at the assembly. We have participation in the assembly. We have praying for one another, giving of our means, submitting ourselves to the elders. We've talked about personal evangelism. There can be, as we see in 1 John 3 and about verse 17, we see that we can engage in personal benevolence to a brother. And Jonathan, could I get you to read Romans 14 and 19? Since maybe you're still there in Romans. 19. Okay, so there, each one of us can pursue the things which edify one another, which build up your fellow Christians, such as encouraging your fellow Christians. So, and we talked, let's see, what else do we talk about? Participating in the discipline, in the exercise of discipline in the local congregation. Maintaining the unity of the local congregation. This is all work to be done in the kingdom. In the vineyard. Whereas evangelism, as Daryl put it, is certainly a major part, is certainly important and not to be underemphasized because souls are at stake. But we see that there is a lot of different kind of work that can use a lot of different talents in the vineyard or in the kingdom. Let's see, I have about 3 more minutes. Lauren? And that's something that isn't mentioned too often, Lauren, is our concern for Christians or certain concerns we may have at other congregations. How is that congregation doing? Are they growing? Are they simply maintaining their status quo? You know, what can, is there anything that I can do to help out the other congregation that I know of? Or you may know, be aware of two or three or more congregations that have needs. But all of this is all of these things that we're talking about, this is what the parable of the talents has to do with the church. Lauren?
You know, we mentioned prayer. We read Acts 12:5. So Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church, collectively the church.
That's right.
Christians individually. But sometimes I think we forget about prayer. It's supposed to come from the heart. A lot of times you've been around a congregation that has a place that some brother has formed.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can remember a story a preacher, an old-time preacher said that a guy loved to pray so much, and they had a very elegant man there, worded his prayer as well. Well, he copied it down, and then he'd read that prayer to the congregation. And pretty soon he liked it so well, he just put it in the wall and he pointed to it and say, Amen. So what we need to do is be fervent from the heart with that prayer. And we can see how it works.
Okay, I guess we're out of time. Thank you for your participation. We will, God willing, we will pick up with the questions at the end of chapter 6 next week, and we'll go on to the origin of the church on page 16.